I hadn't heard that song before. Brother Mark has just sung. But while he was singing the first part of it and telling that story, I was thinking about the end of it. Before he even sung the end, I thought, you know, the angels don't rejoice over my preaching. And the angels don't rejoice over the beautiful buildings we build the worship in. They won't rejoice necessarily that we've met together for camp meeting. One thing that makes an angel rejoice is when a sinner gives their life to Jesus. And I thought, if you want to make an angel happy, just get right with God. And I can't help but I had to think the same thing, that even though your dad never saw on this side of eternity to answer that prayer, I can't help but think for sure, when he heard the commotion the angels was making, he probably had to ask. And he thought, finally, the prayer's been answered. You see, there's things that we do in this lifetime we may never see to fruition, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Amen. Well, this morning, we started sharing with you, and I can tell by this crowd that there's a lot of you were not here this morning. But I don't know how you could out-preach what has been preached by these ladies in purple. Because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of subject matter that they shared with you that you took it a whole lot better than if I'd have shared it with you. There's things they've said that they can get by with that you'd have left here mad at me about. Don't act so innocent. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And yet, there's the truth. And it's not surprising to me why the Lord has been dealing with my heart about what to share with you this week, because this is a shining example. Even that song, what the Lord's laid on my heart to share with you, and those of you that were here this morning, about this whole biblical concept of the law of the harvest, of sowing and reaping. And as long as the Lord leads me throughout this week, I'm going to be on sharing this just to catch those of you that were not here this morning up to speed. We're in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. And Galatians, chapter number 6, verses 7, 8, and 9. The Apostle Paul is saying to believers, words of warning and also words of encouragement. And it just simply says this. I'm sharing from the King James Version. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap, if ye faint not. Wow. I thought about your dad, Brother Mark. In due season ye shall reap, if ye faint not. In due season ye shall reap, if ye faint not. Young people, I thought there's no better message or example for you to have than what you witnessed and what you heard tonight. Because these young ladies have shared with you some of the same things that some of you are struggling with and encountering and dealing with now. And maybe even to the point that you've either thought about or maybe even started to try to solve those problems the same way that these ladies had. And when I think about this whole concept of the law of the harvest, of sowing and reaping, that I'm afraid that there's a lot of stuff that's going on in our lives, a lot of junk and stuff that we deal with and a lot of problems that we struggle with. And sometimes in the midst of those problems and in the midst of those struggles, think about this. Now, I listen to your testimonies, and sometimes we cry out to God and say, oh, God, why? Why did you do this? Why have you allowed this? Why is this happening? And then we even question about his love for us in that whole process. But sometimes we need to understand that it's not God's fault that this is happening to us. A lot of the stuff that we're dealing with, a lot of the stuff that we're battling, is just simply that law of the harvest. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And according to your testimonies, a lot of the stuff that you've dealt with is stuff that you just reaped from what you had sown in your life along the way. And so I think the encouragement I shared this morning with the crowd, that one of the problems we have, that we, the world, and especially my heart goes out to you young people, because I reminded us this morning, we're giving our young people horrible advice, and the world is giving horrible advice, and we're trying to live up to the advice that the world is giving us, and we don't realize that those that are giving the advice are just in as bad a shape as those they're giving advice to. Don't get too quiet, I'll think you're guilty. But I shared this morning a few examples of that. And one of those was, young people, how many times have you heard somebody say, just live your truth? Just live your truth. Just live your truth. And what we've ended up with is no truth at all. And we've been told for over a generation now that there is no absolute truth. I got news for you. There is absolute truth, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And I'm glad that you ladies have discovered that. His name is Jesus, and there is absolute truth that you can count on. In the midst of all this chaos, where there is no absolute, it seems like. And then the other horrible advice that's being given is just to follow your heart. Bless our little heart. Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Young people, if somebody ever gives you that advice, run from them. It's horrible advice. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you don't have to take my word for it, but there was a much wiser man than me that said in Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And then the next bit of bad advice is, just go sow your wild oats. Just go sow your wild oats. And it is unfair for us to encourage anybody to go sow their wild oats without reminding them, you're going to reap it. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But the good news is this. For years, maybe even now, we only get the impression when it comes to sowing and reaping, we only got one option. We only get to sow to the flesh. But I'm glad to tell you tonight, we got a better option. Paul says, "But he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And so these ladies have testified resoundingly that there's a big difference, that we thank God we have a better option in life, that they can tell us that living a life to the flesh, and we have heard of the corruption that they reaped in their life because of sowing to the flesh. But I tell you what, it has blessed my heart tonight to know that they've discovered there's a better option, and now they sow to the Spirit, and they're reaping not only life everlasting, but they're reaping the blessings and the good things of God because of that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we shared this morning, when it comes to sowing and reaping, there's the contrary realm, the realm of the flesh and the realm of the Spirit. There's also the contrasting results. If you want to sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you want to sow to the Spirit, you get to reap life everlasting. You get to make the choice. You have the option. Wouldn't it be nice if all of life with the choices were that easy? Corruption, life everlasting. And yet, as easy as that sounds, most of us in this room tonight have chosen in our lives to sow to the flesh and wondering why we're reaping corruption. And so that was this morning. I want to just share the first thing as we progress through the rest of this week, because as we looked at the contrary realms and the contrasting results, there are several consequences that I want to reveal to you in this thing of sowing and reaping. And I'm just going to give you this snippet tonight of consequence number one. And I don't know about you, but when I hear the word consequence, I usually think of that in negative terms. Oh, no, there are dire consequences to this and that. But the good news is that there are good consequences to sowing to the Spirit. But consequence number one is this. We reap only what we sow. We reap only what has been sown. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother George? On the way down here, Dad and I passed several farms. And I noticed it's made because I just came from Tennessee. And the farther I got, the more I realized this, the farther south I came, is that all y'all's growing season is a whole lot longer and a whole lot earlier than ours. In central Ohio, I grew up in southeast Ohio. I now live in central Ohio. But up our way, you don't put much out in the ground until the threat of frost is over in like the third or fourth week of May. And about the earliest thing you're going to have in the ground is because they're superstitious, I think, they want potatoes in the ground on St. Patrick's Day so they can have the luck of the Irish with their potatoes. But anyway, they want to have their potatoes in the ground by St. Patrick's Day, and you may be able to get something like onions and something like that before the threat of the frost. But most things won't get planted until after the threat of the frost. Saying they have is they want their corn to be knee-high by the 4th of July. Well, if you're as tall as I am, you ain't got very high corn. Apparently got a lot of tall people down here, because not only is the corn knee-high, it was amazing to me, they're already pulling ears of corn in some places down here. At the camp I was just at, they told me how much corn they'd canned and how many green beans they'd canned, and I thought, our green beans aren't even blooming yet. I'm going somewhere here, okay? But I look at these farms, and come up, well, I don't know what time the combines will be in the fields down here, but up our way, in September or October, when we see the combines in the fields harvesting the soybeans and the corn, a farmer will not be able to stand at the edge of that field and say, huh, that's odd. Where'd that corn come from? I'll tell you where it came from. Either you or somebody else planted it, because it didn't come up on its own. You only reap. We reap only what has been sown, because if it hasn't been sown, it ain't coming up. I said that to say this. Sometimes we wonder why we're dealing with what we're dealing with. Sometimes we wonder about the struggles and battles that we face, and we just need to sit down and take some inventory and realize this. The bottom line is this. Either we or somebody else sowed that into our life, because otherwise you can't reap what is not sown. We reap only what has been sown. And say, what you said, wait a minute, Brother George. Wait a minute. You said either I or somebody else sowed that into my life? watch my head. This is the difficult thing about that. Because there are some of you, as I listen to the testimonies, some of you came from good lives, had good homes, but some of you didn't. There are some that maybe because of divorcing parents, and that they sowed that into your life, and some of the struggles that you had were because of that. I think about some children that are born because they're called crack babies, because they were already coming to this world struggling with the effects of the drugs that mom may have taken. And so moms have sown into that, and these babies and children have reaped that. And sometimes there are spouses here, and maybe the children of families who are reaping what, because somebody else in your life may have sown infidelity into that marriage and into that home. And it reminds me of what the Lord told Moses to share with the children of Israel. And this is why this is so serious, because when it comes to sowing and reaping, the effects of that are far more reaching than just us. And so, young people, what you are doing with your life is going to have, yes, you will reap things personally. And these ladies have shared the things that they've reaped in their life because of what they sowed. But we don't have a clue how many more people have reaped what we have sown into their lives. And it can either be negative because it's of the flesh, or it could be positive because it's of the Spirit. No less than four times, the Lord told Moses this. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9. Here's what he said. The sins of the fathers will be visited upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. He reminded the men of Israel, and the story in particular was their disobedience to take the advice of Joshua and Caleb to go and possess the promised land. And they took the advice of the other 10 spies. And as they saw, they're like giants over there, and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And they were disobedient to the word of the Lord. And in Numbers chapter 14, verse 12, the Lord was so displeased with them. He said, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And an entire generation was disinherited by God. And by the way, you cannot be disinherited unless you first had an inheritance. So here are people of God, God's people, Israel, and the judgment upon them. You're going to wander in the wilderness 1 year for every day you spied out the promised land. And they were there 40 days. So for the next 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. And an entire generation died in the wilderness, disinherited by God. And another generation after that reaped a wilderness wandering also because of what they did. I'm going to share with you later this week. I'm going to show you a biblical example of how that word of God is true. And when the Lord says it could be visited upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, I'm going to take you through the word of God and show you how that played out. And so God's word, sometimes it is so serious, but we need to understand this. God's word is irrefutable. God's word is irrevocable, and God's word is irreversible. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, God's word is still true. And when it comes to sowing and reaping, that apart from a message on hell, this message throughout this week may be one of the more serious messages that I preach or that you have to listen to, but it was important enough that Paul is sharing this with these Galatian believers. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Thank God we do have a better option. Thank God we don't just can't, it's not just that we just can't help but sow to the flesh. Yes, we can, because we got an option. And if you want to choose corruption, just keep sowing to the flesh. But if you want to enjoy life everlasting and the blessings of God and the goodness of God, then learn what these ladies have shared with us. It's far better to sow to the things of the Spirit. Brother Mark, would you come? Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you tonight for your faithfulness to us. Lord, there is no way that I could preach to add more to what these precious young ladies have shared with us, because here is a shining example. I could share the truth of your word, and Lord, they may or may not believe me, but Lord, these young ladies have shared the truth, a witness of what you have done in their life, and there are many, perhaps many here, of friends and family that don't know the stories in the Bible, that don't know the truths of your word, but they know what you've done in their lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help them, that the same God that has transformed their lives is the same God that has put your word together. And your word, it's your word that has transformed them. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will stand. Lord, the world is searching for truth, and they've been told that there is no absolute truth. But Lord, we're thankful for those that have discovered your truth, and they're living according to the truth of your word tonight. If there's somebody here tonight that envies, that desires to have what these young ladies have testified to, I'm glad that they are not the exception. That, Lord, you make this available for whosoever. And if there are friends and family here tonight, oh, that are on the outside looking in and wonder, oh, could God do that for me? Does God love me like he loves my loved one? Can God change me like he changed my loved one? Can my life be turned around like theirs has been turned around? And the answer is a resounding yes. But the only way that can happen is if they do what your loved one has done, and that is surrender. Surrender to you and invite you into their heart tonight. So we pray, Lord, to Jesus.